Today on the Nerd Outcast podcast, we talk about The Walking Dead. I'm your host, Chris Bastian, and like I said, we're going to be discussing the hit television AMC series, The Walking Dead. My dear listeners, we will be primarily focusing on the television series. We will talk about the comic books a little bit, but we'll probably be focused a little more on the show, and we will be spoiling the show, most likely up through Season 4. So if you've not watched Season 4 of The Walking Dead, turn this off and then go watch it. As is typical for this podcast, I have brought on a group of experts who feel they can speak with some authority. I've got a couple experts here in Chicago with me. My first one has been on before, and his name is...
Mark Sola!
Whoa, hi Mark!
Hi Chris!
How are you doing?
Excellent, thank you for Skyping with me, even though we live in the same city.
Yeah, you and Sean are both like maybe a 10-minute walk from my house, so... No, I'm just kidding.
I'm a real lazy bones. I'm not much of a walker, Chris.
Boo.
Oh,
you see what he did?
Pretty good. Right out of the gate.
Mark, in case someone is listening to you for the first time, what type of... Let's kind of tailor this a little bit. What are some of your favorite television shows, and what are some of your favorite horror stories or movies or films or shows?
Ooh, that is a good question. TV-wise, I'm a fan of Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, Game of Thrones. Horror stuff, I'm really excited to be on today's podcast because I love zombie movies. I'm a huge zombie nut. And so when Walking Dead became its own TV series, I was very excited. But in terms of horror genre, anything about zombies, I'm on board for. Like Japanese horror films freak me out a lot. Other than that, I get scared, so I don't watch a ton of horror.
Okay. And if you had to kind of like give The Walking Dead a letter grade, you know, like A, B, B plus or whatever, how would you rank the TV show?
It fluctuates, so I'd give it a B right now. Solid B.
Did it start out as an A?
It started out, I'd say, solid B. I think it grew into A territory and then has slid back into B.
All right. Well, it sounds like you definitely have opinions about the show, so we will get to them shortly. My next expert, who also lives a 10-minute walk from me but is on Skype, is...
Sean Okerberg.
Hello, Sean. Welcome back.
Hey, Chris. Thanks.
You were on the hit Blade Runner podcast, which was a really fun time.
That was, yeah.
Sean, same questions to you. What are some of your favorite TV shows, and what are some of your like just favorite horror media or stories or whatnot?
Yeah, well, TV shows, I think a lot of the same stuff. Game of Thrones, and one that's kind of connected to this I like a lot is Lost. I was into that when that was going on. Also some sci-fi stuff like Battlestar and that kind of thing. As far as horror goes, I'm actually not a big horror fan. Like a lot of the horror movies out there, I really don't care that much about. I think I saw the first Saw movie and realized it just wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. But I love zombie stuff. I think just like I love killing zombies in video games. I love watching them eat people on TV shows, movies.
Prize question for you, Sean. What do you prefer? Yeah. Fast zombies or slow zombies? How do you like your zombies?
I like the slow zombies.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked 28 Days Later. That's the only one that jumps to mind as far as fast zombies go. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a good movie, but I think just for the genre that slow zombies are kind of... Like, it just fits better, I feel.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Well, sir, hold on to your thoughts and feelings. We'll get to them very shortly. My next, I guess I would call him hate expert, is all the way over in New York, and his name is...
Tom Brown, hate expert.
Hate expert. Tom, I'm introducing you that way because you watched The Walking Dead, but you really do not like the show, correct?
Oh, yes. And I want to thank everyone for being on Skype for my benefit. I realize it's because of me, because I'm the only one out of town. So I appreciate that. Thanks, guys. Yes, I hate watch Walking Dead. The reason is I kind of am fascinated by things that everyone seems to like, you know, that everyone seems to, you know, genuinely enjoy this show. So, you know, I get a little fascinated by those things, especially if I cannot find any reason. Not that's not true. That being, if I'm generally disappointed by the show most of the time. Almost every episode disappoints me. I'm serious.
It's like a child.
I expect a lot more. What?
No, it's
because
like
a disappointed child.
No, it's like you have a disappointing child.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yes, it constantly disappoints me. I expect a lot more from it, and then it doesn't really deliver. And it pretends that it has and takes credit and pretends it's earned it when I don't think it's earned it most of the time. Personal opinion.
Tom, is there another show that you would point to that you feel perhaps is overrated or also gets a lot of due notice and you just don't see it?
True Blood. I also liked True Blood. We're sticking with the horror genre. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of fits in here. I liked True Blood, but for the lead actress, mostly enjoyed the show. I mean, the storylines were cool. I actually read the books just because I was curious. It's interesting. It's an interesting world. As for other TV shows, I mean, horror. There's not a lot to pick from. Black Mirror. I don't know if you guys watched that. That's really, really great.
Okay.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
I have not seen that.
Black Mirror.
I watched the first episode,
which is an interesting episode, and all of the episodes are different too. It's described as a modern day Twilight Zone, you know, in the modern age with technology. Black Mirror is actually referencing all of the screens we have in our life, whether it be a phone or a computer screen, television. When it's turned off, it's a black mirror.
Interesting. Hmm.
It's a really cool show. But I also like anime. You know, I like cartoons.
Right.
Archer. Black
Do you like
Dynamite
Attack on Titan?
I don't know it. Wait. Is that a movie?
Oh, you got to watch it. It's great.
It's an anime on Netflix right now.
Okay. Yeah. I've been plumbing the depths of Netflix anime, so that will be definitely on my list. I mean, I just go through them. Oh, look, another short series. I'll watch that. Two seasons?
It's great.
I love it. Thank you, Funimation.
Thank you, Funimation,
for everything you've done.
So Tom, as my pseudo hate watching outcast, you're welcome. I'm sure this will come up naturally in discussion. As we talk about the show, please feel free to bring up why you think something just totally doesn't work, or a character or whatnot. Okay,
sure, thank you.
I'm kind of going to play the middle ground here. There are some aspects of The Walking Dead that I really like, and there are some things about the show that really, really upset me. And I think in some ways the show kind of betrays the viewer, and I think that'll be an interesting discussion. So, gentlemen, before we begin talking about Walking Dead proper, I want to pose a question to all of you. What is it about zombies? Like, this is a huge thing. Why, like, zombies, people freaking love zombies. What is it about specifically, like, the zombie horror genre that appeals to you? Like, I mean, I enjoy it, but I don't think I'm as fascinated with it as the people who just really like it. So can anyone, John, let's start with you, because you've kind of already touched on this. Like, what is it about zombies? I just don't get it.
Yeah, well, I've actually been doing a little bit of reading lately about it, just to kind of prep. And so there's a lot of different ideas out there, but something that I kind of liked that I read is zombies can really take the place of just about any fear. Like, whatever fear you have for society, whatever fear, you know, whether it be terrorism, whether it be, you know, infection more literally, or if it's, you know, any kind of thing, it's the destruction of society and forcing us to look at what's important, what are we really afraid of, and it's just a great playground to kind of explore those things and explore how people interact. And I think that some of the best zombie stuff is not about the zombies, but about people and, you know, how we get along when the rules of society break down. And I think that that's why it's really it's kind of a way for us as a society to really look at our greatest fears and to really accept them, because by doing that is the way we kind of get over our fears.
Wow, that was a very well put response. I was not expecting that. No, that's interesting.
Sorry, I like zombies.
No, I've never heard somebody frame it within the context of like watching society fall apart, or like how society functions in that type of lawless world. Mark, what about you? Do you agree with kind of what Sean's throwing out there, or do you have any more you want to add to it?
I do. I agree wholeheartedly with Sean. I think he really hit the nail on the head. I wrote my master's thesis on zombie films and how I felt after 9/11, they were used as a safe, symbolic sort of scarecrow or metaphor for the anxiety that America was feeling, this fear of destruction. Destruction from without, destruction from within. You know, a zombie, your neighbor could be bit by a zombie, and then suddenly this person that you trusted is an enemy to you. I think the U.S. was feeling a kind of paranoia and suspicion after 9/11, in much the same way that we saw in the Cold War with the Red Scare. And around that time, you saw horror movies like Invasion of the Body Snatchers and stuff where people were afraid of aliens abducting or hijacking society. So the sort of zombie as blank canvas for us to paint our fears on, I think, is something that worked particularly well for the U.S. after 9/11. Everyone was so scared, and it wasn't yet comfortable to address those fears directly and like make movies and artwork about terrorism. So we made them about zombies. 9/11 happened during, 28 Days Later was being filmed during 9/11. And there was a moment that when that day happened, they were filming in England and they said, oh shit, like, what do we do? Do we keep making this movie about the end of the world? And they said, yeah, obviously we have to. But the director and cast said that was a very surreal experience. And I think that it's no coincidence that we saw a blooming of this apocalyptic stuff after those events.
Wow. Man, you guys are like really throwing out some really interesting responses to this. Tom, do you agree with their assessments, or
yeah,
do you
think you guys are brilliant? You guys made brilliant observations about this, and everything I'm about to say just feels silly in comparison. I mean, I would only add that I like how zombies differ from any other stereotypical, you know, supernatural monster like vampires and werewolves, things like that. There seems to be with zombies, you very quickly lose all control of the situation, and it's apocalypse. And now all of the people you love are gone. In fact, you've had to kill most of them because they've become zombies before your very eyes, which is always a part of this. You know, like we see a loved one or a friend become part of it. And then you have to trust people who are not bitten, but you don't know them. And now you have to trust these people. And this is, and all we're trying to do is survive, find food and water, you know? So it's very basic human survival, you know, and what comes out of that is all of the stuff that I think is the most interesting about human nature, the stuff that's, you know, buried deep down when you sweep away all of the iPods and stuff like that. You know, that's the only thing I would say. But yeah, you guys, good points.
I like
what you said about the blank slate for fears to be wiped on. That's amazing.
I didn't really realize it until you mentioned it, Mark, but yeah, I feel zombies, like when I was thinking more of a, like, you know, this is a monster type of category, but zombies I feel really kind of are, at least recently in media, representing like an apocalypse or like a world catastrophe versus like a monster in and of itself. More of an atmosphere, really, than a creature. And yeah, that's just really
interesting. It's humanity's like deepest fears, you know, like with a vampire, we just have to get enough steaks and garlic and then we can control the situation. With zombies, we need to eat. We need to find water that isn't poison. We need to find people we can trust who aren't going to kill us. You know, it's like the most basic survival instincts being brought out.
And it's interesting.
Go ahead, Sean.
I was just going to say it's interesting how much zombies have changed. Like, I was looking at some of the older films, and one of the first ones I came across was, I think it was called White Zombie, and it was talking about how it's really, you know, the fear of race wars, and it's, you know, it's fear of the white man losing control, and then it gets back to like George Romero, and it's a little bit more about Romero. Yes. No. Wait. What?
You're right.
Up the name.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Romero.
His stuff is more about like, consumerism and, you know, militant, like, because Vietnam War was happening at the same time and us losing in our identity and all that kind of stuff. And yeah.
Yeah, I remember, I think I was talking maybe with you about this one time, Mark, but somebody mentioned to me that zombies also represent the loss of identity, you know, kind of like the Borg, like once you're bit, or however you become one of these creatures, like it's a loss of who you are, even though your physical form or whatever your body still remains around, which was a fear that definitely spoke to me.
Yeah, I mean, the zombie is so complex with layers of stuff that we're inherently afraid of. Like when your loved one dies, you go to the funeral parlor and you see their body laid out. And you know that thing, that dead body, is no longer the person you loved. But there they are in the room with you. They look like them. They're just not them anymore. And so the zombie takes that sort of difficult emotional struggle and it puts it on its feet, and all of a sudden this thing that looks like the person you loved is not just there torturing you with its presence, but it's also trying to hurt you. And that's like a really complicated thing for someone to struggle with. And vampires do that as well, but vampires have sentience. So I guess they keep a little more of their old self than a zombie would.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I feel we could have a whole podcast about the fear of zombies and the excitement of zombies, but let's bring it to The Walking Dead. With all the things that we've said about atmosphere, society collapsing and whatnot, how does The Walking Dead handle its world? Do you think The Walking Dead is a good and interesting representation of what would happen? Should, you know, zombies be a real thing, or how does that world, that the setting of The Walking Dead strike you? And let's start with you, Mark.
Well,
Tom, you what do you want to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, the interesting thing about The Walking Dead is that everyone's infected. I think this is the first time I've run into that particular element of a zombie tale, where you're infected even while you're alive. So when you die, whether or not bitten, you turn. So that really puts a problem with you know, trying to fight back, because someone could slip in a shower in any facility across the world and then turn five people, and then the place is overrun. So yeah, it seems like everything would be destroyed, and that's kind of what it seems like has happened in the world they live in. So in that sense, yes. In the way any of the characters act, no.
Nope.
They don't act like people.
you think the characters do not act like people?
No, often.
Hold on to that. We'll come back to the characters.
Sure.
Let's just stick with the world. Mark, Sean, what do you think about the world, the representation that they've created of this society or what's left of it?
I'm a big fan of the world. Like, I am a real believer in the, not real believer, but I'm a big fan of the Romero zombie, the slow shambling zombie that never stops, as opposed to like Zack Snyder's 28 Dawn of the Dead zombies that are very fast. And so this one, these zombies are slow. They're relatively dumb. They don't talk. And they're relentless. And the world that these people live in is one of scarce resources. It's one of sort of political factions and infighting, where all the like rednecks and gangsters suddenly become like the last bastions of society, because they were the ones that had guns and knew how to kill things. So I think that that's a pretty truthful depiction of how things might go down if zombies rose up. And so I'm a fan of the world. Now, the way the characters behave, I think, is sort of a different question. And there are like all sorts of plot contrivances and weird character quirks that make it like a more dramatic or more interesting show, but wouldn't necessarily be super realistic if this were actually happening.
Sean?
Yeah, I agree. I like the world. I think that it happens a little quick, like in rewatching it, especially the first episode. Like, I don't know how long he's in that coma. I mean, he couldn't have been in it too long because, you know, he would have just starved to death. So it happens really fast. Like, they go from first infection to complete collapse of society really quickly,
yeah.
Which is a little weird. I think it would probably be something like in some of the other zombie literature, it's stretched over years. But either way, it's I like the world because I like
Hasn't it been like 3 years?
It has now, but
yeah.
The very first episode is like everything's collapsed,
right.
And yeah, if yeah. that. So it was, but either way, right. I do like the setup of the collapsed society and the different groups that kind of find each other. I would agree with you guys as far as the people not always acting like people. I think some of the characters probably function better in the book. Like in a comic book than they would on a TV show, but yeah.
Do you do any of you know? Here's the question I want to ask: has anyone tried to is this the point of the show in the comic book to try and like tell a long form narrative in a world like this? Because most of the media that I'm familiar with for zombie stuff is within the context of like a film. Or something not nearly as long as like a television show or a comic book. Is that kind of part of the purpose of Robert Kirkman, I believe is his name, for creating the comic book? Do you guys know?
I don't know if that's what he set out intentionally to do at the top, but that's definitely what it's become. And that's one of the things I really liked when I first discovered the comic book was that it's a zombie story that doesn't just have a clean little ending. You know, a lot of zombie films, they take off in their helicopter or get away on a boat and they look off into the sunset and they think, or the sunrise, and they think, oh, maybe tomorrow we'll find that special army base.
They make it to the safe zone.
Yeah, exactly. They make it to the safe zone. But this one is sort of like, no, it never ends. And how do you live in a world like that?
Okay.
Yeah, it's usually about surviving a night or, yeah.
Yeah.
It's usually just about that one, you know, I've got to survive this short amount of time and then we're all good.
Okay, cool. I'm just kind of posing that question. Mark, you have read the comic book, right?
Yeah.
How do you like the comic book versus the show? Is there one that you like better than the other?
It turns out I like the show better than the comic. I got turned onto the comic around 2006, and that's when it was just sort of beginning to come out. I used to buy like each individual issue and I thought like, oh, this is really cool. It's a zombie story and it treats the zombies reverently and they're not a joke. And I thought it was really intriguing. I eventually kind of lost interest because the comic has a kind of soap opera-esque quality to it, which I felt boring in comic form. And then when the show came out, I thought, oh, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I think the show, in my opinion, improved elements that were weak about the comic book. And for those first two or three seasons of the show, I was really hooked.
I know that the show diverges pretty wildly from the comic book, mainly because the creators wanted it that way. They wanted the show to be inspired, but kind of really go in its own direction. So readers of the comic book would have something new kind of to look forward to. Do you feel that the show would be better if you have read the comic book? Like, do you feel that's a necessity?
No, I don't think it's a necessity. I think one enhances the other.
Okay.
And if you like both of them, that's a really fun thing because here's the characters that you like and you can see, oh, well, in this version, this guy lives for a long time. And in this version, this guy is killed off very quickly. So it's kind of fun. It's like reading those DC comics that are Elseworlds, where it's like, what if Thomas Wayne had become Batman instead of Bruce Wayne?
Oh, cool. All right. One thing you all three have mentioned is the characters and how the way certain characters act is just not believable. Tom, you brought this up first, so I kind of want to hear what you have to say about that.
Oh, dear God. So I guess I'll start with, I really like the actor who plays Rick. I can't remember his name.
Andrew Lincoln.
What's his name? Never, he is great. I really like him, but for some reason, I think it's perhaps the show. We just get a lot of whispery, strained looking at things, like he's about to say something, but instead it's just 10 seconds of him thinking, breathing, and Carl, a lot of Carling. And, you know, I mean, it's just, I get tired of watching him. And it was tough for me to watch his whole plumbing the depths of his insanity, which he quickly healed from very, very, very quickly. I mean, it was just strange. I was just like, he's hallucinating one week and then not. I don't know. So that whole thing, the governor in general infuriated me. His whole presence on the show, not simply himself, but that people followed him. That Andrea, for some reason, had some sort of relationship with him. Her whole, so like that whole thing, I'm like, why? She just watched him do this weird arena event with zombies and people killing, and then within an episode, she's sleeping with the guy. I mean, I don't understand her at all. I used to like Andrea, and that just kind of ruined that whole thing. Oh, gosh. Let's see. Who else? Oh, poor. The black quota on this show, I kind of feel bad for the black characters on the show. It seems like every time they introduce a black character, they kill off the other black character. Michonne excluded. Yes, I realize that. Tara's also been on for a while. But otherwise, you know, Otis. What's the other guy's name?
Tyrese. T-Dog?
T-Dog.
Yeah.
Poor T-Dog. T-Dog. Mm. And I will stop talking about them. Anyways, so I'm talking about other characters. Let's see.
Let's stick with Rick for the time being, because you're going to launch into every character.
That's what I thought we were. Yeah,
well, sorry, yeah. let's start at the top with Rick, because that's a good starting point. Mark, Sean, what do you guys think of our hero? I mean, I'm assuming Rick is the protagonist, or at least is supposed to be.
Yeah, Sean? I think he is. I think he's. I think it's really his journey. Like it starts with him discovering it, and we see him discover the world. Like he's the one that this hasn't happened to. He gets to jump in the middle of it, and so I think especially that first season we're watching him, and then we watch how he changes. He doesn't. It could be argued he doesn't change a whole lot, but he's, you know, he goes from very optimistic to more cynical, but still kind of optimistic, I think, by the time we're at now. I really like the actor. I think there's a lot of neat moments that you get to see him discover stuff and see how things land on him. I think they, especially in season 3, kind of exploit that a little much to what you were talking about, Tom. It's gets to be a little much. But season 3 I'm not a big fan of anyways, but that's neither here nor there.
Mark, what about you?
Yeah, I think that Rick is definitely the protagonist. And as for Andrew Lincoln's acting, I think it's good. I think it does get repetitive, but that's because he's asked to act as though like the most horrible, difficult situation that he's ever encountered is hitting him. You know, and like that's every episode. There's something horrible going on that he has to deal with. And so, yeah. I mean, people only have so many, like, so many faces and voices that they can put on for certain
this
situations.
This is my trauma face. This is also my trauma face.
Yeah, I am bugged by the kind of theatrical schizophrenia that he goes through in, I guess it's either 3 or 4.
Yep.
I think that, like, I'm not a fan of theatrical madness when it's just used to kind of create something poetic. You know, like, oh, I see visions of my dead friends and wife. Like, that's a cool image, but I don't know how realistic that is. And so it kind of bugs me when I see that in a show that purports to be fairly gritty and real for a zombie show. So, in general, I like Rick, I like Andrew Lincoln's depiction of him, but I think maybe we've spent so much time with him that his journey has already happened, and now it's just kind of struggling along on fumes.
Yeah, I can see that argument for sure. Mm-hmm. We kind of already brought him up. What about the governor, who kind of represents one of the first, well, not one of the first, but, you know, kind of one of the big villains that Rick has to really deal with? He's definitely, I feel, kind of poised to be a very personal villain for Rick, especially when he comes back the second time. But yeah, what about the governor? Do you guys agree with Tom? Do you think like the governor is kind of useless being there? Do you like him as a villain?
Yeah, I think he's just a mustache twirling, just over the top. I don't know how well it worked in the I don't know if it worked in the books. Like, I can see it working in the comic book really well, but he just didn't work for me. Like, it's just, you know, with what you're saying, I don't see why people are following him. I don't see, you know, we don't get to see him be charming, or we don't get to see him struggle with anything. We just see him do evil things. Whereas, like, Shane, I was up with that whole storyline because, you know, some of the times I'm saying, you know, Shane's right. Like, even though it's harsh, he's the right sometimes. And he's, you know, you see what he's doing and you see why he's doing what he's doing. And so you can see that come to a head, which I thought was really neat to watch. But the governor is just evil from get go. And he needs to die from, you know, episode one.
Yeah.
The governor immediately. The governor in the comics is much more two-dimensional. Like, he literally has a mustache and an eye patch, and he's just a straight-up strongman villain. And comic book spoilers here, but he kidnaps Michonne rather than Maggie and Glenn getting kidnapped. Michonne and Rick are kidnapped, and he rapes Michonne. He has her chained up in a garage, and he rapes her. And it's like that is her motivation to get revenge on him. And it's really dark and disturbing.
Whoa, does he rape Maggie in the comic book as well?
No, he doesn't interact with Maggie in the comic, or at least doesn't capture her.
Oh, that doesn't even happen.
So
I see. So that was like the surrogate scene with Michonne and him. Okay.
Yeah, that like him like having her take her top off or whatever, that was like a nerfed nod to the rape of Michonne.
What a terrible scene, by the way. I understand. It was completely confusing. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know what had happened. It was very lame. It was lame. Lame.
It was lame. I think they were trying to like sort of hint at that sexual predatory nature without actually going for it like they did in the comic, which I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, the TV audience isn't necessarily going to be cool with that. But for me, the governor in the TV show had more dimension than the governor in the comic. And while I wasn't a fan of him, I did like seeing those extra aspects of his character, especially when you see him after his town is taken from him, when he's just a drifter and you see him doing occasional nice and heroic things. Like, those are elements that were completely absent from the comic book version.
Did you actually think he was genuine?
Huh. I think there was a shade of that, but I don't think he was 100% virtuous all of a sudden.
I think they did. This is why I like when the governor comes back, because you spend a whole episode with him kind of as a broken man after Woodbury, and he's taken in by that family that's living in the apartment, and he's just kind of just shell of a man, and slowly, you know, he begins like a building foundation with these people and the little girl and having a family again. And it starts off kind of pure and honest and genuine, but then it quickly turns into like dictatorship again.
It seemed to me like that was his whole point. Like, he was actually trying to rebuild a military to go back to the prison to take Rick out. Like, I never got the impression he ever gave up on that.
No, like I felt after he started building his dictatorship, like then that drive of, okay, now I have to go get, I have to hurt these people who hurt me. And that's probably how he built Woodbury, was the way you see him interact with that family in the apartment is probably how he built Woodbury. But the thing that really like, that did not sit with me with the governor, I know we're spending a lot of time on a governor, we'll shift gears very shortly, is when he has like all the heads of the people in the jars, like that really smacked of like cartoon villain, and I'm not sure they really ever.
It was absurd.
They never really explained it. I was like,
yeah.
I get him having his daughter chained up, but I don't get Sure. I just don't get that. I just didn't get it. Shane, I think, is a...
And him sitting in the room watching them like some sort of weird...
Television,
savant.
Yeah.
I think that's a carryover from the comic when he was more overtly monstrous.
Yeah. Sean, you mentioned Shane, who I... Honestly, it's really easy to forget him just because his story arc does wrap up. But that was such an interesting story arc, and his relationship with Rick's wife and Carl, and like trying, like being a second dad, and also like being a cop, but be, you know, definitely like good cop, bad cop. Like Shane is makes the tougher calls and whatnot. And I miss Shane. I really do.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was such a good. Bad guy for Rick to have, because he's his best friend, and they are very similar, but they're kind of the different sides of that same coin. And and you do get to see why, you know, you see him in love with somebody he knows he can't be with, and how much that eats him up. And he you know, first thing he does is step aside, but you see that tear him apart, and you see him fall. And that's why I think that's such a more interesting bad guy than the governor, because you don't see that at all with the governor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mark, Tom, what do you guys have any thoughts on Shane?
Yeah, Shane was great in this. I mean, in the comic, he just kind of is silently in love with Lori, and Rick gets back, and Shane freaks out on Rick in the woods near their campsite, and... is yelling at Rick, and little Carl winds up shooting Shane. Shane doesn't become a zombie, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. It's just like a very quick snap. And in this, you get to see him like really get twisted by his envy and his anger. And, he is like, Rick is fighting to keep their humanity in this like war zone. And Shane is like, hey, fuck our humanity. We just got to stay alive to protect these people we love. And that's a valid argument. And so it's really neat to see the two of them kind of representing different philosophies have to come to a head and fight it out.
Before we delve into the other characters, I want to pose something that the Walking Dead does. A lot of people bring up George R. R. Martin and Game of Thrones as far as a show where it doesn't really pull its punches. And I would actually argue between the two, The Walking Dead is the show that does not pull its punches, because in Game of Thrones, even the people that you like hate or that you want to see them like get their comeuppance, they do. Like, bad things happen to the bad people too. The Walking Dead, like, horrible thing after horrible thing just happens, and it's like watching a car wreck like over and over again. Like, It can be really rough to watch. I mentioned earlier, you know, kind of the show kind of perhaps maybe betrays the viewer a little bit. Do you guys feel that The Walking Dead goes too far? Like, do you think... I don't know. Do you think the show goes too far, honestly? Do you think... Yeah.
Too far in what direction? Do you mean violence, or do you mean the... disaster porn? What do you mean?
Disaster porn. I'll put on an episode, and then some horrible thing will happen. And then I'll put on the next episode, and some horrible thing will happen. And just horrible thing after horrible thing happens to where it's to the point where it's like, okay, clearly everyone should just commit suicide, because everything's screwed up. Everyone will eventually become walkers. Like, the way the world is set up right now, there is no peaceful resolution that can happen for these people. And maybe that's the point of the show.
Every human they meet is screwed up and psychopathic. And
sure, and maybe that's the story that Kirkman wants to tell. But the problem I have with The Walking Dead is it's pretty devoid of hope. And one of the bigger parallels that I can think of is Battlestar Galactica, which is another show about a society that falls apart, and these people are like trying to find a way to survive. The thing that Battlestar does is it gives you grains of hope and slowly like leads to hope, but there is no hope in The Walking Dead, and that's really hard to watch after a while, to the point of kind of just not wanting to keep up with the show. How do you guys respond to that? Do you agree with any of that stuff, or do you love that it's devoid of hope? You love that like it's probably gonna be a tragic ending.
nihilism.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's a void of hope. I think that as far as saving the entire world, there is no hope. I think that's there's not going to be any sort of magic wand. All the zombies are now sunlight and happiness. But I think that there's hope in the relationships between them. And I think the hope is that they're able to get to a place where they can, you know, live out whatever days they have with each other. And I mean, that I guess that could be said about, you know, life in our real world too. But it's like I think that there's the hope comes from within the group, and the horror comes from without. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Mark?
Yeah, I agree. I think in terms of like an external hope that is nowhere to be found. But you see like little moments where Carl, you know, gets to joke around with Michonne, and you see how she's like opening up to him, or you know, you see Herschel teaching people how to plant stuff, and you know that those crops are going to be destroyed when zombies get on them. But like for those little moments, there is that feeling of like normalcy that they're striving to regain, or like Glenn and Maggie, you know, getting together. So there is some warmth there. But overall, you feel like, yeah, this storm is never going to pass. In terms of Walking Dead versus Game of Thrones and like regarding pulling punches, I think Walking Dead pulls a lot more of its punches than Game of Thrones does. In Game of Thrones, yeah. People get their dicks cut off, and they get, you know, boiling stuff poured on their head in front of their sibling, and they get raped, and they get their heads exploded. Yeah. And like
they get almost raped in Walking Dead. Almost.
Yeah, almost raped, which is scary, but not the same thing.
I guess what I bring up about Game of Thrones is when I watch Game of Thrones or read it, I don't feel that the characters that I'm invested in, like their actions are fruitless. Because the world is still redeemable or could still be saved. But the world that is set up in The Walking Dead is so harsh and so persistent that it's kind of like, well, it doesn't matter if I really like Rick because he's going to die and turn and probably kill Carl. And it doesn't matter if Carl gets to laugh because Carl's going to die. Like, they're all going to die, at least with the way the world is currently set up. So if the world is, if this is how it is now, then I as a viewer have a hard time like really investing just because, what next little girl is going to die? And then what next, you know, like...
This is something that the characters deal with.
Oh, yeah.
This exact question. I mean, this is, you know, I mean, you're right. And that's, it's kind of like heightened reality. You know, well, it is, you know, like we have horrible things happening to us all the time. And this is horrible things happening to you all the time, only they're dead loved ones who are trying to eat you in this case. So, I mean, yeah. But the human spirit is to survive despite what is happening to you. So even if you, Chris, were in a zombie apocalypse, you'd still be swinging your little machete as hard as you could until the bitter end, right? It would be a depressing show to watch, no doubt. But I don't see, I don't think Walking Dead can pull out of that spiral either, because like, what are they going to do? Show up at some camp with a bunch of military where everyone is actually nice for realsies and that's the end? I mean, that's not going to happen.
I am getting tired of like them showing up at a place and it doesn't turn out to be the great place that it's supposed to be. Like, I'm really sick of that. And I'm really tired of like every person that they meet just like in and out for themselves. Like, I think Kirkman's, I get it, Kirkman. You think if the world had this catastrophe that the worst would be brought out in people, but I would argue
somehow
that
the only four nice people on the entire planet have all found each other, and
yeah,
then,
you know, I find that
there's no other good people out there
highly
except for the
fawn,
I guess.
I don't know, I don't necessarily subscribe to his catastrophe brings out the worst in people. I'm you know, I'm a humanist, or, well, you know, I'm hopeful that I think a catastrophe would bring out good people, you know.
Well, he's probably right, though, in the sense that the good people would be killed by all the bad people very quickly.
Not necessarily. Good people aren't idiots. Yeah. Look at Tyrion.
But they're not willing to kill. They're willing to, you know, we'll imprison this guy and, you know, until he learns his lesson. He's like, I've learned my lesson. You're all dead. I win. You know, I mean, that's how that goes. That's survival of the fittest. And that seems to, you know, play out in this world. That's why you have the governor involved in, you know, leading people.
Okay, we had a huge digression.
And something else I'd like to bring up.
Oh, go for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wanted to bring up about the show, like, structurally, that I have a problem with the show. Like, there are plot lines that just don't make any sense to me. Like, let me just talk about, like, one episode where the governor pulls into a field where there's all those military there, right? And he's got the drop on them because the military, for some reason, remember, this group of soldiers have survived a zombie apocalypse for about a year, and now they are within shooting distance of a tree line in the middle of a field, like morons, just sitting there on their trucks, chilling. Now here comes a car driven by the governor, jackass, swerving, and the guys are like moderately interested in a complete random person driving a car crazily towards their position, which, by the way, is within shooting distance of the tree line. This is what I'm thinking while I'm watching this goddamn episode. And I'm like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Are they, I mean, was there just no other way that they could trick a group of soldiers? It just seemed so lazy. Did anyone else have that experience watching that episode
in particular? No, I remember being like, oh, you just like wasted like four really good military dudes who would have helped Woodbury, man.
Yes.
Come on. Like,
they could have helped you out too.
It's like when the governor found a tank. He just finds a tank. He gets the one dude who happens to be a tank driver, and he has a tank. And of course, the governor finds him. I kind of agree with you, Tom. Like, good ideas, but not necessarily like the most plausible execution.
Yeah. For me, it all just goes down to the governor's just makes the show bad.
Yeah, I would say that's a good thing. That's a good point. Yeah, he does.
Go ahead, Mark.
I write for a podcast, an episodic sci-fi series, and that scene between Governor like and the army guys, I understand how a room of writers could think like on paper, like, oh, this will be good. This will show how crafty he is, like how sneaky he is and how clever he is, and also show like his competence in being able to kill people. Like, these are army guys and the governor has bested them. Like, we'll learn about his character by this action. I could see how, like, in a brainstorming session, that would seem like, oh, it checks this box and this box and this box. Great, let's do it. But the logic behind it might be lacking, and they're just like so enamored of the idea that it becomes part of the show.
Mark, I think you mentioned, were you the one that said that you feel that The Walking Dead does pull it punches?
Yeah.
Is there like a specific moment that you think of that like you really felt the show should have followed through with something and it didn't?
Yeah. Like, there are a couple like schmaltzy things. Maggie and Glenn escaping the governor's clutches like unscathed. The comic book equivalent was Rick and Michonne getting kidnapped. Michonne got raped and Rick got his hand cut off and they escaped like, you know, having lost something. Or a season four thing. There's a part where Glenn is with a woman whose name I forget, and like she gets her leg trapped in some rocks in a tunnel, and the zombies are closing in on them.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's like, leave me, just run away, save yourself. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. And then like they manage to fight off the zombies, you know, just because it's like convenient for the plot. I felt like that was kind of cheating. That's kind of a fake result, a fake outcome, when they would have totally been toast.
Is there, let me pose the other way, was there a moment where the show went too far for you?
Huh. Probably. But I don't recall. I mean, there have definitely been things that have shocked me.
What about you, Sean? Is there a moment that you can remember where the show either kind of pushed out or went too far?
No, not too far. Like, I think it's, I like what they've done. I like that there's, you know, there's that sense of danger that pretty much anybody could die at any time. I think that it it gives me, the watcher, more to root for or be afraid of.
Let's jump back into the characters real quick. We have a whole slew of characters. I'm going to throw out a bunch of names, and you let me know when I say something that you want to talk about. Daryl, Carol, Carl. I would love to give... is Carol... I really like the character of Carol. I feel this is the actress. Like, she had a bit role in the first season, and this is a character that's, like, really developed over the course of the 5 years, whereas, like, we mentioned, like, Rick is kind of running on fumes. I feel Carol is, like, constantly being developed. Kind of the same with Daryl, too. I mean, he kind of starts off as that, you know, I'm a badass hunter, and I gotta go save my brother, but then, like, he kind of warms up to the group, and perhaps even has feelings for Carol and whatnot. I really, really enjoy both of those characters. What about you guys? Is there any characters that you want to give a little shout-out to or love to?
This guy was kind of a bit character, but I think he was amazing. Morgan, the father of the boy that Rick meets in the first episode, and he has to shoot his own zombified wife, and he can't. He's struggling with it. Like, that actor did such a good job, because in the comic, the character is there, and it's kind of a similar situation. But, you know, you don't really care about him that much. And I think it's all in that actor's performance. That was so... It was very compelling. And then when you see him again, and he's been through an even worse ordeal, and he's, like, gone bonkers, I thought it was captivating. And mostly because of the actor's performance. Mm-hmm. But I really liked Morgan.
Sean, what about you, sir?
Yeah, I second Morgan. He's really good. And I like Daryl a lot, and I think he's definitely one that a character that's really blown up, I think, with the fans. Like, he's at least all the female members of my family seem to really be in love with him. but I think that they've really they delved into him and gave him a lot of stuff to really work with. He like you said, just starts out as a, you know, redneck hunter, and you really get to see who he is. So, yeah. And, Herschel, I think's, you know, a little one dimensional, yeah. but you gotta love Herschel.
Yeah. Herschel.
Oh, and Glenn.
Oh yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, and Glenn is probably one of my favorite characters too. Sorry, but go on.
Oh, no, I was just going to say Herschel is both of the characters you mentioned. Herschel is very much, you know, kind of that voice of reason, you know, wise farmer, whatnot. Glenn, I don't know if he's a character in the comic book, but he's the one that every nerd, like, latches onto and is kind of like, oh, I would be that guy. Like, if we were all surviving this, I would be Glenn, you know? Is Mark, you are Glenn in Herschel? I know Herschel's in the comic books. Is Glenn in the comic book?
Yeah, Glenn is in the comic, and I feel that his comic incarnation is pretty similar to his TV incarnation.
Okay. Is Daryl in the comic book?
No, at least not for the initial comic story arcs that I had read. Daryl and Merle are absent from it.
Oh, Merle too? I like him.
You like Merle? You're a monster.
Yeah, I liked Merle. I liked Merle when he was with Daryl, but...
The racist, drug-abusing... like
Merle. He's a jerk, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's a horrible, horrible jerk.
Metal hands.
Yeah. He's another character that's just like, how has he been with this group up until now? Like, all you see is him, you know, in conflict.
Yeah.
Somebody I'm not a huge fan of, who is supposedly has a huge following from the comic books, is Michonne. I actually really do not like Michonne.
About her do you not like?
I feel that she herself is really incongruous with the elements of the world. Like, when you first see her in the TV show, she's got a samurai sword, she's got two walkers chained up, and it just felt really shocking. Like, suddenly it was like, okay, and now superheroes have entered into the fray kind of moment. But then when you see her in the next season, like, she has this established relationship with Andrea that you just do not see because they've been together for months. And I don't know if she's being directed this way or if this is what the actress has chosen, but I find that the actress that plays Michonne to be very wooden and boring. I just don't care for her character. And she was like that for so long that when she finally started getting some character development and, like, you start seeing backstory about Michonne, like, it was too little too late for me. Like, I just didn't care. Like, the only reason I like Michonne is because when she's around, the characters that I actually really do care about will probably survive. But herself, like, I just don't like her. And I know people love her from the comic book.
Her samurai thing and the armless zombies that she has chained to her in the comics when she first appears, that's a very powerful image. And she became this figure of mystery. She's like this Boba Fett killing machine. She doesn't speak. She's able to fight. You know, she's not running from zombies. She's got them chained up. Like, you know, she keeps these things on a leash. And that was like, wow, that's very intriguing. But in the show, things naturally feel more realistic because these are real flesh and blood people, not drawings. And so when you see someone like use a katana to cleave a zombie in half, it feels kind of false. And you're like, like you said, this isn't a superhero show. How is she able to do this?
Well, and your Boba Fett metaphor is interesting just because, like, I like Boba Fett, but I don't actually have to spend any real time with Boba Fett. Michonne is just kind of hanging out at the prison, and I'm like, okay, you're kind of boring. You're really boring. Okay, go hang out with Carl.
She never speaks. She doesn't do anything. She just walks around skulky and sulky with her swords and stabbing, you know, occasionally zombies in the eye.
Sean, you're strangely quiet over there.
Well, I just agree with exactly what you guys said. I'm sure that character is really awesome in the comic book, but it feels like I was trying to think of an analogy. If you had House of Cards and all of a sudden you put a Jedi in it, it just makes it felt very like I'm sorry, what? And so yeah, I agree with you. I think that she. it would be awesome.
Thank you for making
it just.
It felt
false to me.
Yeah. At the time of this recording,
I haven't watched the rest of.
Yeah, House of Cards season 3 just came out. So
yeah, episode 2. I hope a fucking Jedi comes out at the end.
But aside from that, you know, I guess we should talk about Carl.
Carl.
Mark, let me ask you this. How old is Carl in the comic books?
I forget.
Okay.
When it starts out, he is old enough to walk and talk, but still a child, maybe like 8 or 10.
I think the age is consistent.
Carl's a tough one just because...
Doesn't he go a lot darker in the comic books? Like,
yeah, I think he does.
Way darker.
Yeah, I think
he
gets
touches
like
a little bit of darkness. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not taking... I mean, he's kind of going dark in the show, but I don't think they're taking him as dark as they did in the comic book. I don't know why. I don't know if that would play as well
Another
on TV.
Another punch pulled.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe they feel the actor can't do it. I don't know. I forget his name, the actor playing Carl. I feel he's adequate. Sometimes he does some really cool stuff, but that's a tough call. Like, you know, trying to get a good kid actor in there is not necessarily easy. And I'm surprised Carl has as big a role as he does. Like, watching the first season, I was like, oh, Rick's son. Yeah, he's probably going to die. And then he's still there for season 2. And then he starts wearing Rick's hat, and I'm like, oh, this kid might be around for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kids. Whenever I see a kid in a show, I always get a little worried because of just what you said. It's, you know, kid actors, while they may be great, it's never exactly the same.
They
don't age at the right pace, and of course they don't have, you know, the life experience that comes through in their looks, and you know what I mean. It's definitely a good device to have in there because you know, you never want a child to die and you have to protect the, you know, the kids or whatnot. But you have to take those actors with a grain of salt always in comparison to the rest of the cast.
Here's my 1-2 punch questions for all of you. Favorite episode or plot line? Worst episode and plot line? And I'll start first. My favorite episode of The Walking Dead, a little bit of spoiler alert, is in season 4, there's an episode called The Grove, where Carol and Tyrese, along with two little girls named Lizzie and... oh, I don't remember Lizzie's, her friend's name, but they end up at this beautiful
Malachi,
house.
Malky?
I forget what her name is, but...
Milky?
It's not Milky.
Shut up. It's really close to that. It's like...
Wait a minute.
Up. I'm looking it up.
But the one girl, Matt, Lizzie...
Milky White.
The one girl... Micah. Huh. Yes.
So dissimilar.
Lizzie like feels that the walkers are actually kind of like still people, and she's trying to befriend them, and she kills the other little girl to turn her into a walker. And Carol and Tyrese realize that this little girl is a threat, and they have to take her out and kill her, and it's
Look at the flowers, Lizzie.
Look at the flowers. You know, like child.
Bang.
Yeah, child death. Hard to watch.
I laughed.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, yes. Because you know why? Because I knew it was going to happen, because the first time she mentioned how much she liked looking at the flowers, and then it showed a close up on Carol's face. I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be a Lenny from Of Mice and Men moment. I can't wait. Here it comes.
All right, fine. Thanks for taking my beautiful moment and trashing it.
That was my least favorite episode. You just happened to pick
okay.
it. I'm just kidding. That's not true.
My least favorite plot line, I don't have really a specific episode, but my least favorite plot line is when people start getting sick in the prison. I'm just like, oh, okay, great. Now we're dealing with a whole outbreak scenario. Oh, great. What? This is so original. Whoa, okay, everybody's sick. And I don't... Did they ever say what that virus was? Like, really healthy people were starting to get really sick. Did they ever, like, really identify what it was?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Just like a cold. They didn't have, like, medical supplies, like, you know... pharmaceuticals, you know.
I just didn't care for. I was like, okay, we need something. They need a new threat. So now it's a virus, and it just did not entertain me. It just was not interesting.
It's not a very active conflict.
No, yeah. It's not.
No.
So yeah, that's me. What about all of? We'll save Tom for last because he may not have a favorite episode, but. Sean, what about you? What's your favorite episode? What's your least favorite? Or plot lines, you know?
I think for favorite, it's either... plot line might be more accurate because it's the end of season 2. It's when the Shane-Rick thing kind of comes to a conclusion and the farm falls apart. I really like season 2, and so I think that just the culmination of all of that I really enjoyed. So probably that's one of my favorite. Another favorite, if I can kind of choose two, is around the same time as The Grove. It's Stills, I believe, or Still. Anyways, I really like when the group gets broken up and you start seeing them interact in pairs. I think that those episodes are really strong because that goes back to what I really like about the show. And it reminds me of Lost in really just kind of exploring two characters in this kind of situation. Hmm. So least favorite is just, you know, I've already kind of railed on the governor, but it's, probably somewhere in season 3. It's maybe the culmination of all of it, if I had to pick a specific episode. Mm-hmm. The plot line of the governor, I didn't really enjoy.
Did you like the attack on the prison?
The attack in season 4 or the one in season 3?
The one with the tank.
Yeah, I mean, that was cool. That was definitely cool. And I like that it broke everything up and that it led to the situation of letting characters bond and kind of explore their, you know, emotional tapestry.
For me, also the second to last episode of season 2, which I think is called Better Angels, where Shane and Rick have their final confrontation. That's probably my favorite. Second favorite would be Clear, which is in the third season, and it's the one where we run into Morgan again, and he's created like this crazy village that's like booby trapped, and he's written like clear on the walls and stuff, and Rick sees how he's become just like completely paranoid and crazy.
A Scientologist.
Yeah. I like that actor so much, and like I don't know if they ever revisit this character in the comic again, because I didn't read that far into the comics, but I thought it was really cool to see this guy who you just forgot about and see how messed up he's become. In terms of least favorite stuff, I would probably say still the like plot line of the teenage girl wanting to get her first drink of booze. Like, it feels a little weird to me, and it's a strange like premise for an episode to launch from. And I'm like, oh, gee, I wonder if they will get caught in a situation where they're surrounded by zombies and have to have a heart-to-heart, you know, because it's only them stuck together. There were parts of that episode I liked. I liked the end where they kind of burnt down the old house and it was a fresh start. But I wasn't enamored of the premise of like, come on, I got to get drunk. Like, you're a rebel. Help me find a fun drinking place. I was like, meh.
Sean, isn't that the episode you said you really liked still? Isn't that that episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's Beth and Daryl. Yeah.
Right.
And Sorry to shit on your birthday cake.
How dare you? I love that birthday cake. But I do hear you. That's not necessarily the strongest motivation to get them together. But when it all came down to it, I did like watching those two characters delve into their past.
Yeah.
So I agree with you, the premise, but I still really enjoyed what came of it.
Did anyone else feel like they were going to hook up?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
It made me really uncomfortable.
Oh, forbidden fruit.
Yeah, girl.
Damn, Hillbillies. Girl.
Damn, girl.
Tom, I should ask you this, too. Is there an episode that you really just don't like? Or is there an episode that you don't like not as bad?
Okay, there are moments of the show I do like. I liked being shocked with all of the various ways, you know, in season one and two in particular, they would kill zombies. You know, there's some great makeup effects and blood effects. I enjoyed a lot of that. Mm-hmm. So it was good for a horror movie, you know, or horror show in that respect. I really like, just to point out one cool thing about Glenn, his escape from being tied to that chair with the zombie in the room. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah,
right. And he like breaks the chair apart and uses the pieces of the chair to like kill the zombie. Oh man, that was badass. I really enjoyed that. There are some parts of the show I enjoyed. I mean, I still watch the show. I'm fascinated by it. I would like this. I don't know if you guys how you feel about this, but in every other genre of horror, you know, let's say vampires, etc., the characters in the story understand, you know, the larger generalities of the thing. But for some reason with zombies, that's not the case. They have to be reintroduced to this concept almost every time. And I'm just hoping that after The Walking Dead, we'll stop. We'll put a moratorium on having to explain to every character, oh, you have to shoot him in the head. Oh, you got to run away from him. Don't get bit. If you get bit, you turn into one. Like, how many times do we have to explain that to people before they go, oh, zombies, got it. We already have, like, a zombie apocalypse websites. It's inconceivable that characters in shows wouldn't know about zombies.
Just to speak to that, Tom, I don't... Sean, Mark, you guys may know this. I don't think there is as much like established like actual folklore with zombies as there is with like lycanthropy or like vampires. There's no.
I'm saying now at this point, if you set a show in modern times, it would be inconceivable. People in Alabama who went through this situation wouldn't know what zombies were. They've seen movies. You know what I'm saying? It's to the point where it's reached saturation in the culture. We've understood zombies. We all know what a zombie story is. To see a version of humanity where they haven't heard zombie stories is stupid to me. I might be alone in this, but I think they did that in every other...
No.
Go ahead, Sean.
I think they did that well in Shaun of the Dead. I think they... Yes. Because see? they... I think, was it there that they even have a line about, he calls them zombies, and he's like, and he says, don't use that word because it's stupid. This is really happening. Or, you know, something to that effect.
Don't say the Z word.
Z word, yes. And so I think they did that very well.
I'm just saying, but now we can, at this point, I would really hate to see a new show come out where they have to relearn the rules all over again. Oh my God.
No, I think, and specifically The Walking Dead itself, hopefully will assure that that does not happen, unless it's a very different type of rule or some new twist on the idea. But yeah.
I will say, I mean, just to make a counter argument, I will say that if you go with the conceit that everyone was already afraid of this happening or was already joking about this happening, then it takes away from that experience of, like, especially in this show, of what the hell is happening? How are, you know, how, everyone's dead, people, you know, bodies are coming back to life. You know, it's not so like, oh, it's zombies. Okay, sure. And so you would lose that sort of, you know, just pure terror and confusion.
Well, what I'm saying is, as I watched The Walking Dead, I realized that I want The Walking Dead to represent the final treatise on us discovering what zombies actually are. And going forward, okay, we simply have movies and television shows where, like, oh, fuck, zombie. You know, like, deal with it from there. You know, we don't have to.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. Like, oh, God, do I have to kill my loved one? Okay. Yes. Yes, you have to kill your loved one. Are we all agreed? Does anyone on this podcast think that they're going to have to? Are you confused? You kill your loved one, right? You hit them in the head, right? Because they'll bite you and you'll become a zombie. We all agree about that.
Wait, Tom, if you get bit, you become a zombie?
Yes, that.
I'm sorry, I was in a coma. I was just discovering this for the first time.
But no, surely shooting really them in the leg will.
Yeah, you shoot them in the leg.
Surely if we shoot them in the leg, that will stop them.
Here in Chicago, there's a theater company called Wild Claw that does exclusively horror plays, and they recently did a production of one called The Revenants, which is a story about two people and their husband and wife have been bitten by zombies. This is a zombie apocalypse. They've taken their respective partners down to a basement and chained them to a wall. So the guy's wife is turning into a zombie and the girl's husband's turning into a zombie. And throughout the play, they're questioning, you know, whether their loved one is really in there anymore or whether this is just a monster now. And you're, as an audience member, you're like, no, that person is dead. It's a zombie now. Stop trying to reach it. Stop trying to communicate with it.
Right.
And, you know, you're afraid for these idiots who are going to get eaten at any moment when the chain is broken or something. And so the play continues that way. And there's one moment where a character is very tired and he sits down near his zombie wife. And his zombie wife starts singing Fly Me to the Moon to him. And he freaks out because he doesn't know whether he hallucinated that or whether the zombie was actually zombie grunting the tune to him. And so it really fucks him up because he doesn't know, is there still a shade of his wife left inside this thing? And I thought that was really fun because we assume, no, that person's dead. It's a zombie now. But the playwright played on that assumption we're making, and then you're like, holy shit, if she really is in there, we just saw him shoot her, and that's really fucked up.
For my experts, and Tom, I want you to answer this question too. How does this show end? Like, how would this show end that would really satisfy you? Because we kind of talked about, like, people get on the helicopter and get to a safe zone, and they're, you know, they did it, they survived for a day. Like, how does The Walking Dead end? I know, huge theoretical, hypothetical question, but
I think they've set it up in such a way that just my personal prediction of how it will end rather than how I would like it to end, I'll tell you both. My prediction is that I guess they'll all die. Like, there will be a point where they all die. That's my prediction. You know, like, it's just the end for even Rick. Oh, but what I would like to happen and what I think is possible, even in the world that they've set up, is maybe they go find some stinking cave somewhere that they can actually protect and somehow find food, and we get the impression that they might actually be able to live there for a long time. End of show. I mean, that's the best case scenario as far as I can tell. But, I mean, they're also broken. It just seems like they're all going to die.
I guess a nice ending might be they make it across the U.S. You know, they travel a great distance and they discover that there is some relic of the government that is setting up shop, and they have the zombie cure that neutralizes the virus. And, you know, maybe Rick dies a sort of sacrificial death to get Carl and the rest of them to the safe place. And Carl is a man now, and he's like, you know, my father died protecting us so we could get here. So let's really
have his hat.
Yeah, let's appreciate this Thanksgiving dinner.
Is that how you think it'll end, or is that how you want it to end?
I mean, I don't actually know how I want it to end. To say something a little bit sacrilegious to this show and to my love of zombies, I haven't watched any of season 5 because, like, I was kind of tired of the show with season 4. I wasn't crazy about where it was going. I lost interest, and so I don't know what I want from this show anymore. We've grown apart. I'm cheating on it with Game of Thrones zombies now.
Ice zombies. Sean, what about you?
Yeah, I don't think I have anything too new to add. I think the most likely happy ending is that they'll find some place where they can just kind of start families and start a real community. But I feel like that's what the show's about, them trying to find, and it just keeps failing. Mm-hmm. But I would be surprised if they found a magic cure-all. Like, I don't think that's where it's going to lead to.
Nope.
A magic coral?
A magic coral.
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 Tom, my hate cast, let me check in with you. Do you have anything that you want to bring up or any questions that you want to pose?
Yeah, it's unreasonable that so many people would be so good at headshots in so short a time. Dropping the mic.
Maybe they all played Call of Duty, bruh.
Yeah, whatever.
That has zombies in it.
Even Carl's great at headshots.
Yeah.
Actually, that's more believable than everyone else, to be honest.
Yeah, he had an Xbox, so.
Yeah, he's a child.
Anything else, Tom, or something that we've touched on that you want to explore a little bit more?
I mean, you know, I just think that the show, it suffers from a little bit of lack of thinking through some things, and, you know, I'm surprised that so many people like it, but even on this podcast, it seems like we kind of, or even the ones who like it are kind of like, meh.
Well, here's two questions. One for you, Tom, one for you, Mark. I have no questions for you, Sean. I'm sorry.
No.
Tom, you said that you keep watching the show even though you don't really care for it. Why do you why do you do that? And Mark, you said that the show's kind of lost you even though you used to like it. Why? For both of you.
Yeah. I actually stopped watching it for a period of time around season 3. End of season 3, and then, you know, I just waited for a bunch of episodes to come out. But, you know, I don't feel like it's a huge investment of my time to burn through a couple seasons of a show. I do that for a lot of shows. So it's not like it's suffering a great honor in my repertoire. I watch a lot of stuff. I had to kind of refresh my memory about this because it was so forgettable, honestly. And it's been, you know, about a while since season 3.
All right.
Season 4 was kind of a mess to me. The whole Terminus thing was kind of a mess. And yeah, you just know the whole time it's just going to end badly for everyone the whole time.
Mark, what about you? You said the show has lost you. How did it lose you?
I think that part of it was that characters that I liked started getting killed. And then new characters started getting shoveled onto the pile. You know, it's like all of a sudden we're in the prison and we have to meet all these new prisoners. And these are the new characters. And before we get a chance to really care about them, they're starting to get killed. And then, you know, we're in Woodbury and there are more characters being glommed on. And then we're, you know, the prison contingent has to separate and you're hanging out with these new characters on their own special little voyages. And I was like, hey man, I want to know more about Dale, but he got eaten to death 2 seasons ago. Like, I feel like it's suffering from becoming a little too diffuse. Like in, Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead remake. You started off with like a small cast who make it to the mall, and then all of a sudden more survivors show up at the doorstep, and you have like 10 people, and you don't care about anyone anymore because there's just too many people in the party.
I can see that argument. Spoiler alert, there's an episode where Herschel gets offed, which is a shame. And then a few episodes before that, Carol gets sent along her way. So you're without two really interesting characters now, and they're not filling the voids that these characters create with new interesting characters. Like they get rid of A plus characters, and then they introduce C plus characters that are just not as interesting. Which I think is possible. Like Game of Thrones does it very well. I mean, the Viper.
It keeps enough of them alive.
Yeah, well, but like the Game of Thrones, like the Viper is a really interesting character. He's only in the show for one season, spoiler alert, but he's really, really interesting that one season that he's there.
Is that Oberyn?
Yeah, it's Prince Oberyn.
Okay.
I'm trying, like Tyrese, they're slowly getting Tyrese family members.
So even like one person who we see for a very short amount of time, he's somebody's brother, somebody's father, somebody's uncle, and all of those people are still in the story. This is not the same thing with Walking Dead.
True.
You introduce a person and you get a bunch of backstory and then they're dead. And now you've invested all of that for no reason whatsoever. And all of their backstory was all ephemera. Because it affects no one in the story. They're all strangers to each other. Here's another stranger. Now, oh, also, be very suspicious if you start to learn a lot about a character in an episode. They're probably going to die. That's just how that show plays. And they're really, like, ham-fisted about it, too. I've got enough to say, man. Stupid show.
Sean, I don't really have a question for you.
Sweet.
Are you still on board with the show, actually? Do you still... Like, what are your...
I am. Like I said, season four brought me back a little bit, and I think I might be a little bit of the opposite of Tom as far as I like getting, you know, a glimpse of this character and starting to feel a little depth in this character, even if we're not going to hold on to him for very long. I appreciate that, and it's looking at different characters and the way they deal with this world differently. That's what I find interesting. And I think they're getting back to some of that. And, or they have with season four. I've only seen a couple of episodes of season five, but it seems pretty, pretty good.
All right. Well, we have to slowly wrap this up. So I kind of want to just go into some final thoughts about The Walking Dead. The final thing I want to pose to all of you is this the greatest, you know, zombie survival horror story ever created? If it is, why? If it's not, what does it do wrong? You know, and what do you think, what in your mind is a better, like if you had to point to something and say, you want to see like frightening zombies or you want to see an interesting zombie world, read this, watch this. Is there something else that you would point to? Yeah.
I have an answer.
Fire away.
Okay, so if you're talking regular zombies, the Walking Dead type zombies, I would say yes, but with the disclaimer that for a long time, zombies weren't treated very reverently. They were kind of a joke, like when the Return of the Living Dead zombie movies started coming out and they started saying brains, brains. They were not taken very seriously. And so there's a lot of shit zombie movies out there and shit zombie books. But I think that this one is really good and it offers you a lot of different shades of things that happen in that type of scenario. Now in terms of one of the best like zombie stories I've ever witnessed, I would say the video game, The Last of Us. I don't know if you can strictly call their monsters zombies because they're people infected by a fungus, which turns them into mindless zombie-like creatures.
But the same kind of thing, though.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love
apocalypse,
that.
Apocalypse, infection. But The Last of Us is such a great story and a really compelling world. I think that is one of the top pieces of zombie art.
Oh, nice. Was not expecting a The Last of Us reference. So, Sean, what about you?
I think it's a very good... The thing it has for it is it can tell so much, and it can really follow these characters through a longer arc, and so I really appreciate it about that. It's not, you know, one day in this world. It's, you know, it's a long course, and it's really living in it. But as far as other kind of work that does it well, I mentioned Shaun of the Dead. I think while that's kind of a spoof on zombie movies, it's also just a really good zombie movie. Yeah, I think there's some really good video game stuff. I think one video game that tells it very economically is Left 4 Dead. There's a lot of story for there not being any dialogue. So, yeah.
Okay. Oh, darn it. Now I'm ending on Tom. Tom.
Mom.
Tom, I guess kind of same questions to you.
Well, I agree with what Sean said. In fact, I like the idea. That is why I like the show. That's a good point. I like the idea of following people into the zombie apocalypse rather than just, they dealt with it and then they found a safe place. However, the other side of that coin is nihilism and, you know, everything is horrible and death. You know, so that's what The Walking Dead ends up being, which is hard, as you said, Chris. It's a little tough to swallow week after week after week. I guess an alternative to Walking Dead, I would like to introduce everyone to Dead Snow, if they have not. The Dead Snow franchise, actually. It's a two-movie series. 2009. Let me just read a little bit of the synopsis. A party of 8 Norwegian medical students travel to a remote Arctic mountain for an Easter weekend filled with skiing and relaxation. And then, of course, zombie Nazis come in to get their gold back. That's...
The fact that the zombie Nazis want to get the gold back is...
They got
to
get it back.
They got to get it back.
They're also sentient zombies, which is an interesting little twist. Don't doubt that they say Heil Hitler.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you for pulling your punches, Tom.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen, with that, we kind of have to bring our Walking Dead discussion to a close. At this time, is there anything... anyone is working on, or places that people can follow you, or where else they can listen to your voice, now is the time to plug them.
Yes! This is Mark. I do a comedy podcast called Blastro Podcast, which covers science topics, and our very own beloved host, Chris Bashan,
yo,
is going to be on this month's episode. We're going to talk about video games.
Video games!
Video games! So stay tuned for that. You can find it on blastropodcast.com. I also write for and act on a sci-fi podcast that takes place in a post-apocalyptic world called Our Fair City. And we have our own version of zombies in that show. You can find that at ourfaircity.com.
Nice. Sean?
Nothing to really plug right now. I mention F-Men every time I'm on the show, and that's something we're working on.
Post-production
forever.
We'll get it out the door.
We'll get it there. We're getting it.
Tom?
Yeah. I got, you know, some readings coming up. I live in New York. So, you know, but don't come to the reading, guys.
This is the anti-plug.
You don't have to come to, yeah, it's, sorry. I'm just saying that's, you know, I got some stuff happening, but, you know, whatever.
So where are the readings?
Such a pressure-filled question Chris comes up with at the end of the podcast.
Should I come to the reading, or should I watch The Walking Dead?
I said watch Dead Snow instead.
Okay, I'll watch Dead Snow.
You will enjoy it so much more, I promise you.
All right.
That's
it's
a lie.
Really delightful.
He's the Prince of Lies. He's the expert of hate.
And the mother of all tricks. Well, if you're in New York, hunt Tom down and go listen to him reading.
I'd be really touched/scared if he showed up, because I didn't say anything more about it other than I'm in a reading.
Yeah, no, that'd be impressive.
If you make it there on that.
If you are in the Chicagoland area, you can find me out and about around the Public House Theater. As Mark said, we've got a fun episode of Blastro Podcast coming out soon that I can't wait to listen to, so should be a fun time. If you have any questions, comments, protests, topic suggestions, you can email them to nerdoutcastpodcast@gmail.com. Gentlemen, thank you for coming out tonight. Well, none of you actually came over. You all stayed in your houses. But thank you for jumping online and discussing The Walking Dead. I think we all learned something.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks,
we used
guys.
Our brains.
I've been your host, Chris Bashan, and joining me tonight to talk about The Walking Dead have been
Sean Okerberg,
Mark Soloff,
and Tom Brown. Hate it.
Thank you, and Carl.
Carl!
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 Carl! Carl! Carl! Carl!
Carl!